let us what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice and be glad in it. What a great day. Praise the Lord.
It's a beautiful day for the sunshine. I feel upon my face a beautiful song that I'm singing. The one about amazing grace. Maybe it's like this in heaven. Maybe this is but a taste of how every day will be a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for the sunshine. I feel upon my face a beautiful song that I'm singing. The one about amazing grace. Maybe it's like this in heaven. Maybe this is but a taste of where every day will be a beautiful day. So long to the storm clouds. Take a look at those clear, sunny skies. Listen to the birds as they're singing like the angels up on high. Take that smile that you've been saving. Oh, it's time to set it free. I am happy.
Excuse me.
Back at me. It's a beautiful day for the sunshine. I feel upon my face a beautiful song that I'm singing. The one about amazing grace. Maybe it's like this in heaven. Maybe this is but a taste where every day will be a beautiful day. Was yesterday gloomy? Well, it's time to turn the page. There's no obligation. Don't always have to act your age. When you have His joy inside you, let it glimmer like a jewel. Let it bloom just like a flower. Soon your garden will be full. It's a beautiful day for the sunshine. I feel upon my face a beautiful song that I'm singing. The one about amazing grace. It's like this in heaven. Maybe this is but a taste of where every day will be a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for the sunshine. I feel upon my face a beautiful song that I'm singing. The one about amazing grace. Maybe it's like this in heaven. Maybe this is but a taste of where every day will be a beautiful day. Where every day will be a beautiful day. Amen. Now I would ask you to pray for me. The second week of youth camp, it seems like everybody up there in the mountains that was working at the camp, we all got something, and it's hung on to me for I don't know how long. I'm feeling, I told Mary, I said, man, I feel so much better. I think I've got it all that stuff worked out. Well, I spoke too soon, because sometimes right in the middle of a note, something will kind of creep up into my throat, and I'll have to clear it. And sometimes when you're in the middle of a verse, you can't always clear your throat. You just have to stop. So you pray for me. I feel pretty good, though. I hope you feel like listening and singing. Here's a song that I wrote years ago, and I will admit to you, I borrowed the first part of it. I think some of it would be familiar. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. When I was a boy, I heard the preaching of God's word. It lit a fire within my heart as His word I heard. It's been many years since that fire was lit and old Satan tried to put it out. But there's a song I have to sing, still makes me want to shout. For the fire burns brighter now today than it did back then. And even though the way is hard, the fire still burns within. The fire's glow fills my soul, I love Him more and more. I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before. After almost 44 years, this next verse is very true. Well, I've traveled now for many miles. The road in time seems long. And there are days I feel like I can't sing a single song. But the Holy Spirit then fans the flame just when I seem to tire. He says to me, it won't go out. I'll throw another log on the fire. For the fire burns brighter now today than it did back then. And even though the way gets hard, the fire still burns within. The fire's glow fills my soul. I love him more and more. I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before. Does the fire burn brighter now today than it did back then? And even though your way gets hard, does his fire still burn within? Does the fire's glow more and more? Oh, can you say the fire today burns brighter than before? I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before.
Amen. Can you say that? I like the old song, Gets Sweeter as the Days Go By, and that's kind of what I was thinking of. Had a friend of mine, goes back a long way. He used to be the music director at a Bible college. Now he pastors the church that his dad had pastored for a number of years. And he posted something one day on Facebook, and it was some lyrics to a song that he said he had written years before, but that his chorale had never recorded. And I was so taken by the lyrics, and that was a really kind of a serious arrangement. But the lyrics were just, it's so profound. It described where I'm at in my life. You know, I have never, and I appreciate some of the things that Brother Billy said. I appreciate the fact that there are people that realize, I don't care about being famous or being well known. I just care about the Lord being able to use me in any way that he possibly can. And so the things of this world have never had a draw on me. I learned that a long, long time ago. Could have had things if it made different decisions, but I'm thankful for the way that we made decisions, because both of my girls are in church and they're both serving the Lord. One of our grandchildren is with us today, and he came to know Christ as his personal Savior. All of our grandkids, except I think maybe two, have come to know Christ as their Savior. And had we taken different direction in our life, probably wouldn't be able to say that today. Our oldest daughter actually told me that. So, Dad, if you'd made some of those other decisions, we would not be probably serving the Lord. Well, he wrote a song, and so I called him. His name was Otis Ledbetter, and I called Otis. I said, man, Otis, I don't know what this song sounds like, but if you could at least send me the score or play it or something. He said, well, I'm not much of a singer anymore, but I'll play it and sing it for you. So he did, and he emailed it to me. And I just thought, I've got to record this. Well, we got in the studio, and it ended up completely sounding different, and I was so thankful that Otis said, man, I love the way you changed this up. But it just, it's entitled, None of These Things Shall Move Me. And there's a lot of things that can be thrown in your direction. You better be really careful whether it's of the Lord or not. Because depending on what door you go through, it might change your life. But this is my testimony song right now. I could give my life for serving myself and getting the things my flesh longs for. I could stand in awe of earthly fame and sell my soul for many things. And maybe I could gain some wealth and hear the laud of friends for self. Oh, but what would it profit? And what would be my reward? So none of these things can move me. And I count my life.
but alas, for the gain of my Lord and the glory of the cross, none of these earthly things can move me. What would it profit if I gained the whole world and then would lose my own soul? And what would I have if I went through the fire and did not come out pure as gold? If I choose to scorn sincere desires, the pleasures my heart would follow. If I value love and face the truth with joy and self-denial, then my Lord will give me peace and give me life where conflicts cease. My contrite heart would be His great reward. So none of these things can move me, and I can't. Earthly things can move me. No, none of these earthly things can move me. Amen. For by grace are you saved. I would ask you to pray for a young lady by the name of Autumn Nealon. Autumn, her mother and father, her aunt were all killed in a plane crash as they were on their way to meet up for a gospel singing cruise in Seattle, and the plane went down. And just about two and a half years ago, I heard them sing a song that I fell in love with. And the title of the song is called Grace Ain't Fair. I had somebody come up to me one time and say, "Man, Brother Mark, grace is fair. It was made available for everybody." And I said, "You're exactly right, but you got to listen to the context of the song." "What do you mean?" I said, "Are you a sinner?" "Well, of course I'm a sinner." I said, do you deserve death? Isn't that what sin demands?" He says, "Absolutely." I said, "Could you have paid your own sin debt?" "Well, of course not." "Why not?" "Because I'm a sinner." "That's right." And I said, "But there came somebody that was born of a virgin who became a sinless, perfect sacrifice. He didn't have to go to the cross, but he chose to go, and he went to the cross." And I said, "Our sin demanded justice. Yet we have a Savior that went to a cross, who was perfect and sinless, and he went to the cross to die for you and I, who were guilty. It made it fair for us, but it wasn't very fair for him when he paid the price." So this is one of my favorite songs here in the last year or so. It just says that. Grace ain't fair. You pray for Autumn Nealon. She's the first one I've ever heard sing this. For all the hurt I've spread around, all the people that I let down, for all the times I just wasn't there, I thank God, grace ain't fair. I saw the pain, but I didn't care. I thank God, grace ain't fair. I wasn't supposed to be something worth rescuing, but grace ain't fair, it found me anyway. So here I am, free indeed. Can't believe this is me, totally forgiven of all my yesterday. For all the prayers I never prayed, for when I left, but I should have stayed. I should be lost on my own somewhere. I thank God, grace ain't there. I wasn't supposed to be something worth rescuing, but grace ain't there, it found me anyway. So here I am, free. Can't believe this is me. Praise God, I'm totally forgiven of all my yesterdays. You took a mountain that I deserved to give me life I wasn't worth. You bore the cross that was mine to bear. I thank God, yeah, I thank God, grace ain't fair, grace ain't fair. And I thank you for that. Now finish the verse. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
You can read about that faith all through Scripture, but especially in Hebrews chapter 11. We are saved by faith, and we should be living each day by faith, looking by faith one day to the glorious appearance of our Savior.
Amen.
By faith, someone tills the land. By faith, then takes the seed in hand. By faith, the seed is scattered round on the broken ground. Then comes the rain, the hot and burning sun, the wind, the night, the course it all must run. And then at last, the harvest time has come, and the victory is won. It is by faith we cross that river wide. By faith, by His dear side. By faith in Him who bled and died, in Christ we're justified. By faith. By faith in Christ, God is appeased. Oh, but without faith, it's impossible to please.
By faith,
man with his heart believes, as Jesus he receives. It is by faith we cross the river wide, by faith we stand by his dear side, by faith in him who bled and died, in Christ we are justified. My faith. And it is by faith. All made possible because he loved us. Praise the Lord. Love could not give up the fight. They formed a cross and laid him on it. Drove the nails into his hands. Some may see a broken spirit. All I see is love and mercy where the cross Calvary stands. You can't say he didn't love us. You can't say he didn't love us. You can't say he didn't love us. When he loved us from the cross. All the years that I spent searching, find that thing that's real and true. When all along the cross of Calvary was the price that he paid for me, so that I could make it through. You can't say he didn't love us. You can't say he didn't love us. Can't say he didn't love us when he loved us from the cross. Think about this. He could have called 10,000 angels, could have reascended to his throne. But if he left the cross of Calvary, he would have to go without me, and I would never make it home.
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing thought?
Yes, sir. had a missionary friend that we met many years ago. We did a couple of missions conferences, I think three or four actually. He was in almost all the churches we were in that year for missions conferences in Arizona. His name was Ralph Doan. At that particular time, he was just home on his first furlough from having spent the last 4 years in Hong Kong. Actually, just outside of Hong Kong. He wasn't in the major city, but he was outside of the city. And while he was preaching one night, he made this statement. He said this, "Our giving is always regulated by how much we love something." And I thought, well, yeah, that's good. That's probably true. Then he said, for example, some of you parents are probably here. You can think of things that you've done without just to make sure that your children had them. And I thought, yeah, that's probably true. And we, as parents, we could all nod our heads and say, yeah, that's true, yeah. But he didn't stop there. He went and told the story, a true story, of when they first went to Hong Kong. Had three daughters. They were like from 9, 7, and 6, something like that. So they were very young girls. And he said, of course, being in Hong Kong and, you know, not speaking the language and the girls just being little, quite a bit of culture shock there. It wasn't very long after being there, we actually had a little house. It was just a small place outside of town and before the big metropolitan area of Hong Kong. That's where the Lord had kind of sent us to help. To start a church as we were learning the language and working with another missionary. But our little girl, who was going through quite culture shock, she decided in her own mind that what would help was if she could just have a pet. So she asked us one day, "Mom, Dad, do you think I could get a pet?" And all parents know you never get a six-year-old a pet because who ends up taking care of it? Mm-hmm. But she kept at it. "When can I have a pet? Why can't I have a pet?" On and on for about a year. And finally, for Christmas, she said, we broke down and we got her a little pet kitten. And she said, our little girl proved us 100% wrong. Everything that had to do with taking care of a cat, she did. We didn't have to be involved. She did the litter box, fed it, dressed it in the baby clothes, put it in the buggy, all those things a little girl would do with her pet cat. She loved that cat. Then one day he said, somebody left the door of our house open up just long enough for it to run outside, out of the yard, into the street. Yeah, and you're already ahead of me, aren't you? And he said, I was summoned to the situation as the cat had been hit by a car. My little girl is standing there over her cat, and it wasn't dead, but it was obviously hurt. And he said, I felt so horrible. To this day, he says, I felt horrible about what first went through my mind. I looked and I saw that cat laying in the middle of the street, and I thought, all I can see is dollar signs. This is going to be expensive. My little girl didn't understand anything about that. All she saw was her pet was hurting and needed help. Daddy, can't you do something? So we got the cat, put it on a towel. She got in the passenger seat, cat on her lap. I began to drive. We made our way to a place where it was a veterinary hospital that we found. And I was trying to prepare my little girl, he said, for the worst case scenario. He says, I told her, I said, now honey, this could really cost a lot of money. And you need to understand something. If this looks like it's going to be too expensive, it costs too much money, we're going to have to put your little cat down. We'll not be able to bring her home. We'll have to put her to sleep. Never said a word. He said, he again, trying to emphasize the seriousness of the situation financially, honey, here's what I'd like you to do. Before we get there, would you just pray and ask the Lord what you should do in the event this costs too much? She still didn't say anything. He said, until we pulled into the parking lot, she said, Daddy, can I ask you a question? Sure, honey. Daddy? How much is too much for something you love? Now that got my attention. That made it into my Bible. Anything profound like that hits me that hard, I will write it inside my Bible. I could not get away from that statement, that question, Daddy, how much is too much for something you love? Two and a half weeks have gone by and I'm still mulling that over. I can't think of anything else but that statement, how much is too much for something you love? Sitting in a church at Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas, in a Bible conference, a church I was saved in, hearing great preaching. I think it was great. I don't really recall because I wasn't listening to any of it. I was thinking, how much is too much for something you love? And Pastor, here's what I was thinking. We don't know. It's all supposition. This is all supposition, folks. But what it might have been like before the foundations of the world were laid. And the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, mulling over what is about to take place. And the plan of salvation is being discussed in the portals of glory in eternity past. And the Father looks at his Son and says, Son, what we're getting ready to do, it's going to be expensive. And I can imagine the Son looking at the Father saying, but Father, how much is too much for something you love? Then the plan of salvation is put into motion. The universe is spoken into existence, a little place called Earth, where God designs to carry out his plan for humanity. God desires to have fellowship with mankind, not because they have to, but because they want to. But even then, they already knew, the Lord knew, his Son already knew, mankind was going to fall and there was going to have to be a price paid. And then finally, the virgin birth takes place. His Son takes upon himself the form of man, perfect and sinless, and he goes to the cross of Calvary. And he's hanging on the cross of Calvary, and the world gets dark because the Father cannot look on any sin. And I can just imagine in my mind's eye his Son crying out, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father maybe responds and reminds his Son, but Son, how much is too much for someone you love? And he allows his Son to go to the cross, to stay there, to fully, completely pay for our sin. Here's the song that came from that story. Christ was so high, one that man could never pay. The Father sent his Son to die, his blood paved the way. If you could ask God why, I'm sure he would say, how much is too much for something you love? With arms stretched out, hands open, something you love. Think about that picture on the cross of Calvary. Take a look in your mind's eye of that broken, bruised, and beaten body who became sin for us.
picture of saving grace I can't comprehend. The Father's Son took our place to finish God's plan. He now reminds us still from His throne up above. How much is too much for someone you love? With His arms stretched, His hands open wide, that crown of thorns on His head, and the spear deep in His side, the question was answered, was suspended love. How much is too much? Oh, how much is too much? Tell me how much is too much for something you love. Tell me how much is too much for something you
song. It was sent to me by the songwriter, and I was sitting in my truck listening to the little cassette that only had one song on it, and I listened to that, and I called his office and I said, man, that is a song. And Squire Parsons always used to say, he says, you wish that every song you write would be like a Sweet Beulah Land, but that's not the case, but this was pretty close. And And then years and years later, after having recorded this song, clear back probably about, I guess it probably recorded about 1987, 88, something like that. About the time that I recorded the song, years later, I heard a different version of it. Same words, but completely different style. I called my friend and I said, Squire, you know how much I love you. And he goes, what? I said, I just heard something for the first time. A mutual friend of ours had sent it to me, and I said, it's not often somebody does a cover of an original song that's better than the original. He said, I already know what you're going to tell me. And then he mentioned the group. He said, they knocked it out of the ballpark. He said, you know, I love what we did, but they took it to another level. And I said, yeah, I think that's why I wanted to call you. It has just brought new life to the song, and I ended up wanting to go and re-record it, which we did back this last April. Home, home, oh blessed promised land, prepared by God's own hand, home of the soul. Yes, home, home, no more to say goodbye, no tears to dim the eye, I'm going home. You can call it Beulah Land like Squire did. You can call it the land across River Jordan. You can call it paradise. You can call it everything. I'm thankful I can call it this. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by His own hand, and for the saved by grace, amen,
more days, it will be mine. Amen. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some say I'm just
chat. And he was chatting for about 10 minutes. Then he kind of got serious. He said, you know, Mark, there's some songs that I have written that nobody's ever heard. And he said, would you be interested in hearing some of those? Absolutely. And so he did a little video of him singing a number of songs. And then he asked me about some songs he had lost arrangements to or the tracks to, and wondered if I'd be willing to rearrange those with new arrangements, and we did that. But I fell in love with the song, and it's really, if there was three songs in a row that he's written about heaven, these would be the three: Beulah Land, I Call It Home. And he wrote this song when his daddy went home to be with the Lord. He said, you know, it's always tough to lose a loved one, but praise the Lord, we have the blessed hope in Christ that you never, ever, ever say goodbye.
Amen.
It's always seen a little while. And that's what I told my mom. When I talked to my mom the last time on the phone, I said, Mom, you've been a great mom. I'm not going to tell you goodbye. I'm just going to say, I'll see you in a little while. That's what I told her. Because that's what we actually, we don't say goodbye. It's just in a little while. And I think it's a whole lot closer than any of us could even begin to realize today. Amen. So Squire sent me this. And I might have sung this. I don't know. Were we here last year or was it the year before? I can't remember.
Last year at Christmas time.
At Christmas time. I don't know if I'd have sung this or not. I had done a makeshift arrangement, but when Chris and I went in the studio, this is one that we wanted to make sure we recorded, and as well as I call it home. But you listen, it says this, so shall we ever be. We'll never ever say goodbye again. Praise the Lord for that. If it be sweet to see you now and then, soon our companionship will know no end. To gaze upon that face where glory beams, and never have a cloud to roll between. Oh, blessed day, when will you dawn at last? When in our Savior's arms will be held fast. The race all runs and unset in sun. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Just one moment's touch, and how with joy I'm filled. The slightest glimpse, and my eyes with tears are filled. His presence makes my heart long more to see him face to face. So shall we ever be. Oh, blessed day, when will you dawn at last? When in our Savior's arms we'll be held fast. The race all run, unsetting sun. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And until then, with joy, I'll carry on the race I'll run, unsetting sun. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wait, do you have time for one more?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I was going to sing it anyway, but I'm glad we got the pastor. No. Wrote a song on the hillside there at youth camp many years ago. I think it was the very first song that I actually had enough nerve to pin down and actually not only write, but end up recording. And again, that was because of Squire. Squire got me alone one day at lunch and said, hey, when are you going to start taking your songwriting seriously? And I said, what? And we had a long discussion about that. It was on the hillside that this song came to be. Years later, after having sung the song hundreds of times, traveling in Germany, my oldest daughter, Titus's aunt, Lisa was traveling with me. She was doing what Mary normally does. She was playing all my music. It was kind of her senior trip. They need to understand something. I spent 2 years in Germany. I was the only American teenager in my town. So I still speak almost fluent German, even to this day. I can get along very easily when I go to Germany. But I told her the first 4 days that we're in country, I'm not singing at all. All I'm doing is taking and showing you places that are special to me, because I want you to experience some of the places I've been and that I enjoy. And so we went to the Rotenburg, and we went to the place where the factory where they make Steiff teddy bears and all sorts of things. And then the last day, what was going to be the last day, I was going to take her to go to see a place called Neuschwanstein Schloss, which is the new Swan Castle in English. And it's a Disneyland castle. It's one that Walt Disney saw one day, that he designed the castle, Fantasyland Castle in Disneyland after. And that's my favorite place. I could live there. If somebody wanted to let me live there, I'd camp out there. I'd live right there. And but the day before, I tired her out. I was looking forward to the next day, but she was tired, and I taught her what to look for. I says, if you'll just look for places like this, it's spelled G-A-S-T-H-A-U-S, and it's called Gasthaus. You look for a place called the Gasthaus, and that's normally has a restaurant and it has rooms that you can stay in. And so she was all tired out. We were in a little town called Salgrab, and she says, Dad, there's one of them Gasthauses over there. You think we could stop? And it looked like a really nice one. I said, well, yeah, let's go ahead. And let's pull on. We're only about 30 kilometers from where Neuschwanstein is. Let's pull on in. So we pulled in, and we walked into the lobby of this restaurant hotel. And they're different than in the States. You don't have a great big huge lobby and a big desk. You have a little window. And you probably ring a bell or press a buzzer, and somebody will come and open up the window. And that's what we did. A lady came and opened the window. And when she did, and I was talking to her about having a family room available, I looked, and in the shelf behind her, there were brand new Bibles. Now, you got to understand, I lived there, traveled all over there. I'd never seen Bibles in the open for people to see like that, especially brand new ones. And I just whispered to Lisa, I said, these people might be Christians. Well, then we got interrupted again by the check-in process, got all checked in, and I noticed in a great big glass display were books that were obviously, from what they were titled, they were religious books. And so I told her, I said, these people might be Christians. Well, we went out and we ran. We hadn't run yet that day, and she was running with me every day. We ran, came back, and got ready for dinner. And as we sat down into the restaurant portion, and you have to understand, this was only about 2.5 weeks after 9/11 had taken place. The world was still kind of reeling because of that. And when we walked into the Gasthaus, into the restaurant portion, there were about five German couples taking their evening meal. And the proprietor, he came and he immediately knew we were American. And he came and he set us at a table, then he walked over to the piano, and he got a little American flag off the piano, and he came and put it on our table. And it was such a sign of respect, considering what our country had just gone through, and all the people were looking at us, and they just kind of went like this. Like, our hearts are with you, we understand. And as we ordered, and he came and he kept coming and visiting our table, and finally his curiosity got the best of him, and he said, so, you're here on business? I think he was having a hard time wondering, why is this older guy traveling with this young lady? And I said, well, this is my daughter, and yes, I'm kind of here on business. I'm here, I travel, and I sing gospel music. And when I said I sing gospel music, Brother Billy, he perked up, and he said, and it's not because they're rude, it's just their mannerisms. A lot of people think Germans are rude because of how they speak, but they're not. It's just the way that they are. He says, gospel music? What do you say the gospel is? Now, I've been trying to practice my German on him, and he was trying to practice his German on, or his English on me, and now he says, the gospel, what do you say the gospel is? And I just looked at him and I smiled. I said, well, I would tell you from what the Word of God, the Bible says, the gospel would be the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I just smiled and I said, and I would add this, his soon coming again. Well, this is the gospel, isn't it? And I said, yes, sir, it's the gospel. And then he sat down at our table. I'd never seen anybody ever do that, a proprietor, sit down at a patron's table. And all he wanted to do was talk about the Lord. Told us how he and his wife had both been saved as teenagers growing up in Germany. American evangelists had come through and had had revival meetings, and they heard the gospel, they got saved, and now they were involved in trying to present the gospel, and that's why we saw the Bibles and other things in the lobby. So we had a very sweet time of fellowship. Lisa wanted to go upstairs, and she says, "Dad, I forgot something. Would you go down and get it?" So I did that. And then when I got back up and she was ready, she says, "Dad, you know, that guy was so nice and he's a Christian. Do you think I could get him a CD?" I said, "Sure." So I told her what CD to get. She went down, got it, gave it to him. We're on the second floor. And then she said, "Dad, I gotta have this." I think it was her hair dryer. I forgot the hair dryer. "Could you go down and get the hair dryer?" And when I walked out the door, I could hear me singing very loudly on the second floor. I could understand all the words. He had put that on the restaurant sound system and was playing the CD, and it was loud. Kind of embarrassing. Anyway, the next morning he'd asked us how early we wanted to be on the road. I said, "We've got to be on the road no later than 6:15. So he says, "What time for breakfast?" I told him, 5:45, is that too early? "Oh, no, that'd be fine." He sat down and had breakfast with us, and all I wanted to talk about was the Lord. Then as we left, he followed us out, he and his wife, and he said, "Herr Gray, ich habe eine Frage für dich," or "Mr. Gray, I have a question for you." And so he had the CD in his hand. He said, "Herr Gray, this CD, I look, you wrote this song?" I said, "Yes, sir." "I listened to this song. I know the story. I know the stories this comes from. But what is this sentence? What does this mean? Is there not a cause?" And so I began to try to describe that in German. Now, when I get frustrated, that's when I have my problems. I was trying to say, "How do you say, is there not a cause," in German? And I was struggling a little bit, and it was just the Holy Spirit intervened on my behalf and had mercy on me. And all of a sudden, his eyes lit up. He said, "You know, I think I understand this now. It's kind of like today. There is a battle going on for the souls of men, but too many Christians are like King Saul and the army of Israel standing on the sidelines." Then he said this, and I'll never forget it. "Isn't there a reason to get into battle for the Lord?" I said, "That's what it means. Isn't there a reason to get..." That's what he's saying. "Isn't there a reason to fight? Isn't there a reason to get into battle?" He said, "You know, this is why I like your old English Bible. This is the Bible where the power is. Our Bible does not have this kind of power." And the pastor's saying, and I think that's probably a synonym for amen. Totally unsolicited, he made a statement. "This is why I like your old English Bible. This is the Bible where the power is. Our Bible does not have this kind of power." And he said that because that phrase, "Is there not a cause," is not in their Bible. It's been eliminated. It says this, "Was habe ich denn getan?" or "What have I now done?" But it does not have the phrase, "Is there not a cause?" which is the significant question that he asks.
Yes, sir.
I relayed that story. It's probably been 10 years ago in a church in Sacramento, California, Fair Oaks to be exact. We'd had a phenomenal service, but three gentlemen that were deacons got upset. They came and they asked me. I didn't know they were mad. They asked me, "What did you mean by that story?" I said, "What story?" "Well, when you said that German guy asked or said, made the statement, 'This is why I like your old English Bible,' what did you mean by that?" I said, "I didn't mean anything by it. I'm not the one that said it. He said that. What do you think he meant?" I said, "Well, I would tell you this. Their Bible reads differently, and it didn't have the question. And that question being omitted, it took away some of the emphasis of what David was trying to say.
Yes, sir.
So they're not the same." The pastor had already asked me to make sure I called him for next year. I called him the next week. And he said, "Brother Mark, I'd love to have you, but I can't have you because you made three of my men very mad." All because a German told me, I didn't tell him, a German told me, "This is why I like your old English Bible. That is the Bible where the power is. Our Bible does not have this kind of power." If you get upset at that statement, it's probably a good thing you don't come and tell me about it.
Yes.
I might ask you what your position on the Word of God is.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I have the preserved word of God today. Here's a song that I wrote that upset him. I don't think anybody here will be upset at all. Praise the Lord. This is a song that that German fellow fell in love with. Praise the Lord. This is one we just recorded with Chris. On one side of the valley, David's brothers stand in fear. Israel's army wishing they were any place but here. A shepherd boy named David shows up on the scene. He sees God's army frightened by Goliath fiercely. Then David speaks out boldly. He wasn't searching for their applause. He rebuked them with this one question: is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Can't you find a reason to stand against the foe in this ungodly season? Is there not a cause to stand up for Lord? Just fight the fight, he'll win the war. Is there not a cause? So listen, we're fighting some battles today, and it's not with the Democrats or the Republicans or the president that's president now. Listen, we're fighting against powers and principalities and the spiritual things of this world.
Yes.
Listen.
Hebrew children would not bow or from their God turn when they were cast into the fire. They did not singe or burn. Well, in this wicked world of sin, there are foes we all will face as Satan, like a roaring lion, goes from place to place. Oh, but like Daniel found down in the den, God can shut the lion's jaws. All he asks is that we trust his word. Oh, is there not a cause? Oh, yes, there's still a cause to stand for God and right. The foe cannot prevail when we're trusting in God's might. Oh yes, there's still a cause to stand up for the Lord. Just fight the fight, God will win the war. Is there not a cause?
Just remember, you have the word stand. That's what God wants us to do in these latter days, is to stand. The battle has already been won. One day he's going to return as the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to take care of everything, all in all. Battle's already been won on the cross of Calvary, but the victory is going to be proclaimed when he returns one day. Would you please stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask Mary to just begin to play some music softly. Pastor will come and he'll close as he sees fit. But I know that I've been singing to the choir, so to speak, already this afternoon, and I'm wondering if there might be a Christian. You say, Brother Mark, I know I'm saved, there's no doubt about it, but if I had to put myself in that scenario of where the Israelites were, the valley that separated them from the Philistines, if I had to put myself in the scenario, I got to tell you, I'm going to be honest with myself and God, I'm probably kind of standing on the sidelines here of late. I know the Lord wants me to be a better soldier for His glory. But Mark, I know I'm saved, but I have some real needs in my Christian walk. Would you pray for me? Are you like that? Slip your hands up all over. Praise the Lord. Others, praise the Lord. That's almost everyone. Brother Mark, please pray for me. I'm going to do that right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to fellowship with the folks here. Brian, thank you for Brother Kreiger, for his friendship. Lord, it's probably one of those things that makes getting older a little bit more tolerable is when you see men that you've known for time and they're still serving God faithfully. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the cross of Calvary, your Son, the free gift of salvation made possible through the shed blood. That perfect, perfect sacrifice. Father, everyone here, from outward indication this morning in the main service and then even today, those that have stayed probably all know your Son as Savior. If that's not the case, I pray that if there's someone that like that they'd come and talk to me or the pastor after the service is over. But Father, a lot of hands went up just a moment ago, and we need to be effective soldiers of the cross in these latter days that you're allowing us to live. And these are exciting times, Lord. They're perilous times, but they're exciting. I pray, Lord, for the folks. I don't know what their individual needs are, but you do. They've lifted their hands. Lord, in this quiet time of invitation as the music is playing, maybe right now, someone just need to kneel right where they're at. Just get alone with you for a few moments as we have a time of invitation. And I pray, Father, that your children, that obviously the Holy Spirit has spoken to this afternoon, would just be obedient in how you've spoken to their heart. We'll praise you for it. In your precious Son's name we pray. Heads remain bowed, eyes are closed. That's you this morning. Why don't you just go ahead and kneel where you're at. Get alone with the Lord for a few moments. Pastoral close here in a minute. If the Lord's spoken to your heart and you can see yourselves on the sideline rather than in the battle, why don't you pray right now and say, Lord, help me to get back in the battle and be effective for the cause of Christ. Pastor.
Business with God this afternoon.